very thankful that the Lord was willing to die for us. I'd like to give us a reminder of Scripture. The book of John, 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. It's a very common Scripture to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd like to take just a few minutes to focus on a few words in that Scripture and think about what this verse says to us. If you believe in God and believe that there is a power that is much higher than we are, and if you have ever bowed on your knees and prayed, you have prayed to God. You have called to one that is higher than you are because you recognize that you are in a weakened condition. This Scripture, Jesus said, for God so loved. We know what love is, at least to a degree. But God so loved, the Creator of all of this universe, the one that spoke everything into existence. And by that same word, everything is held in store, in place, as it is today and continues on its circuit. That God so loved that He gave. You ever give something to someone that you want them to have something, so you will gladly give it to them and hope that they will enjoy it? God so loved that He gave. God gave. The God that spoke this entire world into existence, that breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and gave man all of his capabilities. That God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, this evening, God has made it possible for you and for me to be able to be with Him in eternity. That was His desire from the very beginning. It is His desire tonight. For God doesn't will the death of any. He's not desirous that any should be lost, but that every man should come to repentance. That's the will of God. Let's remember that as we go throughout our lives, folks. That Scripture can be used and overworked and used in so many different ways, and so many times people will quote it without really, really giving real deep thought to the meaning of it. For God so loved this world that He gave. When mankind was, and knowing that mankind would spit upon His Son, would slap Him, would deride Him, would make fun of Him, would curse Him, revile Him, reject Him, He still gave. Because He knew there would be some that would. Some that would say, yes. Yes, Lord. He knew there would be some, like the disciples, when Jesus said, will You also go away? Lord, where do we go? There is nowhere else that we can turn to hear anything like this. By faith, folks, we have to believe. May God help us this evening to have faith to believe that God loves you and He gave everything that's possible so that you could be saved. And I'd like to ask a question this evening, or maybe just give us something to think about for a few minutes. I remember when I was in school, one of my teachers teaching us about voluntary and involuntary reactions. You ever heard of that? You remember what that is? A voluntary reaction is something like this. I'm thirsty. I want a drink. I reach to pick up the cup, put it to my lips. That's a voluntary reaction. I choose to read my Bible. I look at the book. I turn the pages. Those are voluntary reactions. My mind is processing information and saying, turn the page. My body responds. I marvel at the abilities that God has given to us. Pitiful, weak, frail human beings to do those types of things. I am amazed at it. The psalmist says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I look at that and I think how pitiful I am and how much I don't know. But I do know that I believe in God, and folks, He has been good to me. He has given me abilities beyond what I could ever comprehend, and I cannot begin to imagine all of the things that have to click, that come together to work in this body for me to be able to do this. The communication that takes place. Voluntary reactions. Involuntary reactions. You ever had, you play softball or volleyball or whatever kind of ball, all of a sudden you catch something out of the corner of your eye that's coming your way? You don't have time to really process and think about all that information. You know it's there, you respond. Something that's coming to your face, you close your eyes. You blink. How quickly the body is able to process that information. It's an involuntary reaction. It's a response that is built into the mechanism of this body that it just does it. Because it's something that God gave there. It's a natural protection. It's something that we have that God has, when He breathed into us, part of Himself, He put all of these components together, and it's a natural thing for us. It's a protection that God has given to us. Involuntary reactions. There are things that the Lord desires us to be able to respond to in His Word and by His Spirit. And I would like for us to take a look this evening. I desire your prayers. The Lord will bless these little thoughts this evening. And if I'm not able in my little feeble efforts from my words, that the Lord would develop this in your mind by His Spirit to cause us to have at least some seed thought from it this evening. And my little burden tonight is voluntary humility. There is a big difference between voluntary and involuntary, as we just mentioned. Voluntary humility. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, the second chapter. We'll begin to read a few verses here. I want us to remember that the Scripture tells us in many different ways, and I'll not try to go through all of them this evening, but if you'll trust me and you study in the Word, you'll find that the Scriptures bear out in Jesus' words that tell us to have the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, to be transformed, to be a new creature. If any man is saved in Christ, he's a new creature. It says, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And when we start down the road of that new life, there's a lot to learn. Oh yes, there's a lot to learn. But there is a transformation that takes place. There is a recreation. I still look in the mirror and have the same features. I still look the same over time. If I've been steeped in deep sin, maybe some of the haggard lines will disappear and God will give peace to my soul and my spirit, and the countenance will show a different countenance. There are some physical changes that will take place by being born again. But I'm still a human being. I still have the same color eyes and the same color hair. I still very likely walk with the same gait. Very likely I still have all the same characteristics that I once had. They have to be tempered with the Word, with God and His Spirit. But there are things that Jesus said, I came to do only the will of my Father. There are things that you and I have to begin to start putting on as we make this transformation. As we become the new creature, there are things that just, yes, they will just happen. But there are decisions and choices that we have to make along the way. When the Lord comes on the scene and He starts talking to you about different things in your life and He starts giving you instruction about what He wants you to put on, what He wants you to put off, where He wants you to go, where He wants you to refrain from going. Those are things that the Lord will do for every one of us, and that's part of that transformation. And as we serve the Lord, it starts to come more clearer into focus that we really start to understand that God really did love me. He really loved me so much that He was willing to give all that He had in heaven's best for me. And I am so thankful that God condescended by the convicting power of His Holy Spirit to come knock at my heart's door and give me an opportunity to say, "Yes, Lord, I will open to You." In doing those things, we start making changes. We realize the direction, the path that we were on, and we realize that God has taken us from that path and set us on a higher plane. I think of that song, and we sing in our hymnal, "He Lifted Me Out." Don't hear it very often anymore, but I think of that song every once in a while. "He lifted me out of the deep, miry clay. He settled my feet on a straight, narrow way." There's a big difference in the life that we once lived and the life that we now live once we become saved. And the Lord is trying to work with every one of us along the direction in life and teach us and help us to be changed from that old man to a new creature and find out how to serve Him and walk with Him in a way that is pleasing to Him. Jesus said many, many ways. He said, "I only came to do the will of Him that sent me. The words that I speak, I don't speak my own, but I speak what the Father has given me. My doctrine isn't mine. It's the doctrine of my Father." Jesus gave reference continually to His Father. He pointed mankind to His Father. And we realize and know that Jesus, of course, is the Savior of the world. And the Scripture says, "And I, if I be lifted up," and Jesus said, "will draw all men unto me." And we know what that means, that there was a time when Jesus was hung on that cross, and the earth looked at Him. And folks, today we still recognize that old rugged cross as a place. It's an emblem of suffering and shame, but it's also a place of redemption where the Lord gave it all for me and made me a new creature, gave me that opportunity. Jesus said, "I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." When He was in the garden, praying in the depth of His passion, He was praying to the Father, and He said, "Father, if it's possible, if there's any other way that this can be accomplished, please let this cup pass from me." He didn't do it once. He didn't do it twice. He did it three times. He prayed earnestly, praying God to have mercy on him and help him to be able to accomplish and fulfill the mission that God had ordained for him. He went back to His apostles, who were very weary, and understandably so. And He spoke to them, and He said, after that final time, He said, "Sleep on. Sleep on. I've got it all taken care of now." Folks, it is a wonderful thing that Jesus was able to do for you and for me. And He did that because He had the mind of the Father. And He had His will always in mind to do. It was just a natural response from Him. And the Lord is desiring from you and me a natural response. He wants something from us that is just as natural and it flows. There's nothing contrived about it, nothing worked up, but it's just a voluntary thing. It should be rather an involuntary reaction from us, and that is the one of humility. Turn with me again to Colossians, the second chapter. Let's begin reading at the 18th verse. And I'll tell you, folks, the enemy is ever busy trying to tempt us, trying to trick us, and trying to get us off track. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by its fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Did you hear the contrast here? Did you hear the distinctions that were made between the two? In the 18th verse, it says a voluntary humility. Do you know what a voluntary humility is? It's a humility that I am able to put on and I'm able to take off. It's something that when I choose to have it, I can put on my humility. I decide I want humility, so I go get my humility. And I cloak myself in humility. Folks, I want to tell you that's not real humility. But I want to give us some examples of what a voluntary humility might be. And I wonder sometimes if we don't mistake these things. I believe the Lord, we need to remember that God, that we spoke of at the very beginning of these comments, that God that gave to us all of these abilities and capabilities, He wants us to use them to His glory and honor. And if I'm going to glorify and honor God with the things that He has given to me, folks, I'm not going to accomplish it by doing this. I'm not going to accomplish working for the Lord and pleasing God by hanging my head down all the time, by making myself look like I'm so weak, so timid, like I'm so cowered down. That's a voluntary humility. It's not in how low I can make myself appear to mankind. It's not in groveling. Many times people will think that groveling is humility. Folks, groveling in sorrow, groveling in a circumstance, groveling is not humility before the Lord. Groveling and just putting myself in those situations such as that is not giving God glory and praise and honor, because God has given grace and strength and power to rise above circumstances and situations. He has given us that ability. He has given us grace. He has given us power. Voluntary humility is something that is so weak and is something that God is not pleased with. What He wants from you and me, folks, is an involuntary situation where it's just as natural. It's just as natural as anything else would be. Instead of having to work up a protection, the ball's coming to me. Oh no, I need to think about it, process it. Here comes the ball. I've got to duck. I don't have time for all of that. I don't have time to worry about when it's time to put on my humility. Well, it just needs to be a natural thing. An involuntary thing. And contrasted to a voluntary humility, an involuntary humility would be the one like I have the mind of Christ and always along the way. I don't seek my own way. I seek God's way. I don't seek to please men. I seek to please God. And in so doing, I'm able to work with my fellow man. Because if I seek to please God rather than to please man, then God is going to impart something to me that'll make me peaceable and easy to be entreated. That'll be a natural thing that God will impart to me because I choose to do the will of God. I choose to be like Christ. I choose to take on the mind of Christ. I choose to think like Him. And that does take some effort on our part. I will agree with that. It takes me being willing to be transformed. It takes me being willing to put myself in a place where I get on my knees before the Lord and I say, Lord, here I am again, and I'm in this situation. And the Scripture tells me that You caused men to ride over my head. And Lord, I want to respond in a way that is pleasing to You. I want to respond in such a way that when I meet my fellow man on the street, when I meet my enemy, when I meet the one that's done me wrong, I can stand in a room and I can have my head held up. I can look You in the eye. I can look my enemy in the eye. I don't have to cower. I don't have to turn my head. I don't have to skirt around and try to duck and dodge and hide because I'm ashamed, because I've got something to hide. Folks, God wants us. We're human beings. We are His creation. God's creation. We are here to represent God. We are here as vicegerents for God. We are here as one, but He's not here in visible form, but He is looking to you and to me to be representatives of His life, of His will, of His word, of His way while we're here, just as Jesus was. Now, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but we have to have that same mind. A voluntary humility won't get me anywhere. We read down a little farther in this same passage. It talks about in the 20th verse being dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And then it goes down the 23rd, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Oh, here's another one. Will worship. Instead of having true, honest, heartfelt worship and devotion to God, I have to work it up. Will worship. Now, I'll grant you that there are times when, as these old bodies, they get sick, they get tired. There are times when we have to exercise our will and say, Lord, I will not come under depression. I will not come under the effects of the enemy. I will not allow him to trip me up. Father, by your grace, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If I take that on, if I take that mindset on as I go through life, God can look down on His creation, me a part of that creation, and I'm trying to do my best for Him. I meet my fellow man out there on the street. I put the best foot forward. How do you do, sir, along the way? A smile on my face. What makes you think you're so happy? I've got something down inside of me that is more than all the circumstances around. While I might be in trouble on the inside, I might be in trouble on the outside, I might have problems, physical needs on the inside, yet I know that there is a God. Yet I know that He has saved my soul. And I know that it's possible for me, folks, in choosing to try to look like I'm humble, to try to look like I'm lowly and meek, I can displease my Lord. Because it's a robe that I can put on or I can take off. You remember what Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees? He told the people, When you fast, don't disfigure your faces. Don't put ashes on. Go wash your face and look normal. Just go about the day just as normally as you possibly can. Don't appear to men to fast. When you give your alms, don't go blow a trumpet in the street corner and say, hey, watch me, I'm about to give. Don't do that. Just quietly go about your life and do it. If you're going to fast, folks, the Scripture says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know how He does that? He puts a smile on your face. He puts a different gait in your step. He helps you to be able to feel like you are worth something. There's nothing wrong with a human being feeling like I am worth something. I am loved by someone. Somebody cares for me. I need to be happy. There's no reason for me to be just to feel like I am nothing. I know the Scripture says that we are as nothing. It doesn't say we are nothing. As nothing. I know the Scripture says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And the converse of that is without Christ I can't do anything. I realize that. When I have that in my mind, and I have before me all the time where I am and the voluntary and involuntary reactions, as we spoke about a while ago, the responses, what God has given us, the ability to do, the things that God has programmed into these bodies, it puts me in a frame of mind to be always in a worshipful state. Always in a state of worship before the Lord. Father, when I wake up in the morning, I'll tell you folks, there's been a lot of changes in my life in the last year. When I wake up of a morning and I first start seeing the gray that comes through the windows, the blinds, I lay there and I say, Lord, it's another day. It's another day. And more does it come, it's more real to me now than it ever has been. This is a day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. It's another day the Lord has made. While I was asleep, we sing a song, while helpless and unconscious sleep, thy presence kept us pure. While I was asleep, Lord, while I was asleep, you had everything, your word held everything in place. The sun made it, the earth in its rotation around the sun in the course of all the gravity and everything is working just as it always did. I awake and I see the gray and the light of another day. Thank you, dear Father. Then here again, my eyelids come open. Did I cause it to happen? Folks, how many people have died in their sleep? But I awake and I begin to see the light of another day. I don't know how it all works. Is it the Spirit of the Lord? I hear the birds outside begin to chirp and sing. And my body wakes. How does all that happen, folks? I believe it's because God has imparted some of Himself to us. And He is, as He did with Adam and Eve in the garden, desiring some time of communion. And He wakes me. He wakes you. Your eyelids start to come open while you're still clearing cobwebs and dredging some of the sludge out of your mind about how to respond to this day. The Lord's already been busy all night long. While this, folks, it's only dark in one place. It's not dark everywhere. While it's getting dark here, it's starting to get daylight somewhere else. Our God is constantly, constantly alert and attentive to our needs. Then, as a part of His creation, and not only as a part of His creation, but as His children, ought we not to be in a worshipful state? Ought we not to say, Lord, You have given me this body, as weak as it may be, but You have given it to me. I want to use it to Your glory and Your honor. I want to use it to glorify Your name, Lord. If while I'm here marking a little space of time, whether it's 20 years or 80 years or 100 years, while I'm here, Lord, I've got this opportunity. While I'm here, would You help me, Lord, to be able to do things to help my fellow man? Will You help me to be able to say something, to do something, to help him feel a little brighter today? Will You help me to do something or say something to make him feel a little bit better about himself? Will You help me, Lord, while I'm here, till I can further Your cause and further Your kingdom? I don't know what I can do. I'm just a simple man. I don't have any great high education. I'm just a simple man. Grew up on a little farm. Got high school education. Learned a few things in the school of hard knocks. But Lord, while I'm here, I want to be able to be useful to You if I can be. Will You help me to see what it is that I can do? Folks, God has desired for every one of us, while we are in that state and saying, Lord, will You help me? It's a worshipful state. It should be something that's just as clear and just a natural response, an involuntary reaction to our Lord. The humility. If I have that frame of mind where I am constantly acknowledging where I am before the Lord, and I want to do my best before Him because He surely did His best for me, I will naturally be clothed with humility. I will just naturally be cloaked and clothed with humility before the Lord. And when I meet my fellow man, and I'm talking with him on the sidewalk somewhere, I meet him in the parking lot of a store somewhere, and he says, Mike, how you been? I haven't seen you in a long time. How's things going for you? Heard you had some trouble. I can have an opportunity right then to say, God has been good to me. I don't want to focus on my situation. I want to tell you God has been good to me. Well, Mike, what's going on with you? I'll tell you what's been going on. But I want you to know God has been good to me. He opened doors that I couldn't anticipate being open. He closed doors that I didn't think was time to be closed. That's God's business. But I'm standing before you today to tell you God's been good to me. And if that open door opens a little bit more, there's a whole lot more can be said. You see, folks, and it all comes because we need to have a desire and a heart and a mind of realizing, Lord, that the ability that You've given me, I don't have to think about blinking my eyes. I don't have to think about breathing. I don't have to think about making my heart beat. I don't have to think about all of those pulses that take place. I don't think about the nerve responses in my mind, in my body, and in my brain. I don't think about those things. It just happens. And it happens because there is a God. Folks, I am so thankful that God had mercy on my soul. I am so thankful that He was willing to condescend, come down and deal with my soul. That He was willing to talk to me one day and help me to see that I was on the wrong road and was willing to turn me around. I am thankful for that. I am so grateful for all that God has done for me. And I believe that you are too. I look in your faces tonight and I know some of you have trouble along the way. I know you've been in some battles along the way. I know you've had some opposition. I know some of you had some serious physical issues to deal with through life. I know that. God has been good to you. God has spared your life. He has given you this opportunity. He wants us to have a heart and a mind and an attitude of praise and worship to Him. And then if I'm doing that, folks, I don't have will worship. I don't have will worship. It's not a worship where I just decide I'm going to worship God. It just comes naturally. Because I realize where I am, where I was. I go back to the Scripture, John 3:16, and I think about it for God. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you know what? Whosoever meaneth me. It means you. Believeth on Him, shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. This evening, if you're a child of God, I want you to know something. God wants you to know that you're worth something to Him. You mean something to Him. You might not think that you mean much in this world, but I want to share something with you. There's a song we sing sometimes that says, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. We're dealing with in a troubled situation in our nation where we have so many broken homes. Children that are being reared here a little while, there a little while. They don't have the consistency that they need in their lives. But they might have someone that loves them and knows about the Bible. And you might be that someone. You might be that individual that can spend a few minutes with them, reading to them a Bible story, singing a little Sunday school song to them, helping them to get some type, some kind of little seed planted in their mind. Then you never know if it'll ever germinate or grow, but yet you have that opportunity. You can be in the sight of God, folks, if we'll take advantage of those little opportunities. We may not think they mean much, but take advantage of those little opportunities. Somewhere along the way, I believe it'll come back and repay. There's also a song that talked about, I can't remember all the words, but I like to paraphrase. It's about a little fellow that was in a Sunday school class, and the teacher was talking about some missionary work, or maybe a missionary had come to visit. And the Sunday school teacher gave them a little opportunity if they wanted to give some of their money to it, and they were willing, and they did, some of them did. And this little fellow gave some of his, and he had no idea where it was going to go and how it was going to turn out. But as it came, as he went through his life, he lived a good life. He lived for the Lord, died, and when he was inside of God's heaven, he couldn't understand it, didn't even realize how it was possible for him to even be there. And I wonder sometimes if that's how it's going to be with us too. When we get there and see all the glory and all the splendor and all the majesty and all of the mercy that God had, folks, I believe there's going to be a worshipful attitude. I believe that's one of the reasons why the Scripture says that the elders, they worship Him day and night. Because I'll see the mercy of God. I'll see the saving grace and the saving power of God when I get there. If I get there, and I plan to by the Lord's help. But this man entered into God's heaven, and he had a question about how is it? Well, how is it I made it here? And there was an exchange, and then the man that was the missionary that day that came to him and said, you know, that day that I came to visit your little Sunday school class, and you put your little nickels in the Sunday school offering, it helped me to go visit a foreign land. And there's another little fellow that walks up and says, you remember that day that missionary came to you? That missionary came over to my country, and he spoke to me about the gospel message, and that's why I'm here today. And the Lord said, son, look around you, for great is your reward. Look around you. You thought you weren't doing very much. You put your quarters in. You put your nickels in. You put a little bit in. And I was able to take that and magnify it just like I did the loaves and the fishes. I took that little bit. I saw the widow's mite. The Lord said, did you see what she did? Did you see what she did? He said, all of these people cast in of their abundance, and it didn't hurt them at all. They had plenty, and they gave, but she gave everything that she had. It was just a little bit. Folks, the Lord is able to take that little bit and multiply it and magnify it and cause it to be more than we can ever imagine. when we are able to see, Lord, I don't want my name in the marquee lights. I don't need my name to be recognized. I just want to further Your cause. I just want to be a part of Your work while I'm here, whatever it may be. If it's a Sunday school teacher, if it's a song leader, if it's being there on the work day, whatever it might be, Lord, I want to be a part. I just want to be a part. I want to help. Folks, the Lord looks down on that and sees that heart, that attitude of mine, and that's not a show of wisdom and will worship. That's a true desire to worship and praise and serve the living God. May the Lord help us to see our God, one that's high and lifted up on His throne. And whenever I'm looking to Him and I realize, Lord, that the little pitiful, frail human being that I am, that even though I look at this and I see the wrinkles that appear and I see the age spots that start to show up and I realize I've lived out the strongest of my days, Lord, I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. Well, however long You leave me here, Lord, I want to use these days, these hours, whatever I have, I want to use to Your glory and to Your honor. Because when I do that, it's just a natural thing. I'm going to have the humility. I'm going to have the worship. And my Lord, Your God, Your Lord, will want to come down and visit with You in the cool of the day. In those waking hours of the morning, whenever your body wakes from unconscious sleep and things start to come together, okay, it's time to get up now. It's time to move. It's time to stir. It's time to get up and get yourself ready. It's time to get dressed, get yourself something to eat. It's time to hit the road, go to work. It's time to put in a productive day. It's time to do the right thing. It's time to come on back home now. Folks, there's so many things that we get, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll feel like we're just stuck in a rut and we're not accomplishing anything along the way. We need to take a different frame of mind about those things. God has given to us every ability that we've got. Let's use it for His glory and honor. Let's use it to glorify God. When Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, I came to do the will of Him that sent me. May that be our refrain also. When we're working or talking with our fellow man, I'm not here because I want to do my own thing. I'm here because I believe the Lord has been good to me and had mercy on me, and I want to share with you some of what He has done. A show of wisdom and will worship. This is where it leads. And neglecting of the body, not in any honor, but to the satisfying of the flesh. Hear what the Word says? Let me read it again. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead from Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body. Folks, how many times have we been taught that sometimes we have to neglect these old bodies in fasting and praying? And it's true. But if we're not careful, we'll put so much emphasis on the neglecting of the body and we'll miss the real essence of what the Lord is trying to say. We'll think that if because I am neglecting my body, because I am appearing, I want to be low, I want to be humble. Folks, we can put on that cloak of humility, and I'm neglecting my body and doing all of these things, fasting, and that's necessary. I hope you get my picture here. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. We can do things that would appear to men to fast. It would appear to God that I'm really trying to fast, but I'm really not doing it for the purpose of God. I'm doing it because it's just a show of wisdom and will worship. It's not real from the heart. It says, not in any honor, but to the satisfying of the flesh. It's not because I give any honor to God. It's because after it, I feel better about myself. And folks, it's not about pleasing myself. It's about pleasing the one who gave this body to me. Lord, it's yours. Take it. Use it. I want to share with you something as we close. When I found out that my physical situation, I went home, I got on my knees, and I cried. I cried. I said, Lord, I want to live. I want to live. I enjoy life. Life is beautiful. There are so many things that you have given here. I want to enjoy that. I do enjoy it. I want to enjoy it more. My children are grown. I'm thankful I got to see them grow up. I have grandchildren. I'm very thankful for that. I told the Lord these things. I said, I want to see them grow up. But more than that, Lord, if while I am here, if it will be in your will to give me more years, if while I am here, Lord, if you will do that, if that is your desire, I want to, please, Lord, help me to serve my fellow man. Please help me, Lord, to serve my fellow man. Please, Lord, if you want to leave me here, if you will leave me here, I want to help promote your kingdom while I'm here. Help me to know how to do it, Lord. I want to do it. I can't complain. God's been too good. He's helped me to know what love is. I've been able to give love. I've been able to receive love. I've been able to see grandchildren. I've been able to hold children in my arms. What could a man complain about if God chose to come take him away? Right now, if God decided that it's enough. There's no complaint. I couldn't say, Lord, you did me wrong. Not with all of those things. I've had too much. While we're here, God has given us something so precious. He's given us life. He's given us breath. He's given to us a part of Himself, the soul, the spirit. I see it in all of these things that I'm able to do. It's God. May we each have a desire to serve Him, please Him, and to help our fellow men. I may have shared this with you. One day I walked into a place of business, and I don't like to live in a world of doom and gloom. I just don't like that world. I just don't like that world. My life has been to see the glass half full, not half empty. That's my frame of mind. Well, I walked into a place of business one day, and I guess I had some things on my mind, and the lady behind the counter said, Mike, what's wrong? That hit me. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I'm sorry, I didn't realize there was anything going on. She said, well, you're just not your normal happy self. I said, you know what, I'm sorry. And I left, and I went back to my truck, and I said, Lord, in that one instant, I let my feelings show. I let those things that are troubling my mind or inside, I let that thing show. I felt a little bit defeated at that instant. I said, Lord, will you help me? Will you help me to do better than that and not to portray on my face to my fellow man what I might be feeling inside? Help me, Lord. You know, folks, when we're meeting our fellow man on the street, they don't need to see us with our head hanging down, crouched in a corner somewhere. Folks, I've got something better than that. I've got God. I've got the Spirit.
I've got salvation. Let's let God show through us. As Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He portrayed God. What did Philip said, Lord, would you just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied? What did Jesus say? Philip, have I been here with you so long and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, folks, may the world, as they look on us, may they see Jesus. Let's pray for one another. Pray for me. We got some traveling to do before we get there. I want to make it. You do too. I want to see you.